This is PocketGamer.biz. This is the podcast studio at MAU, and this is where I'm talking with games marketers all day long, and they are literally lined up in front of the door. So we have a great lineup. But I want to kick it off with Faith Price. You are now Director of Growth Marketing at DoubleDown. And last year when we were here, you weren't. You were just, I think, just promoted. So it's been an exciting time for you. And such a challenging, well, not challenging job, but everyone's doing this now. They're bringing together acquisition and retention. You're doing this in your job. How's it been the last year?
It's been really exciting to be able to work on the full funnel journey for basically the user. So as you mentioned, like working on UA, working on retention, that's what I had been doing at DoubleDown for like the previous 4 years. And then last year added in user engagement, which is communicating with the user after they've become a player. So how do we talk to them via, you know, push notifications, social, email, etc. And so it's been great experience because we get to figure out in the UA side of things, like how does the player want to be communicated with and what interests them, what gets them into the game. And then on the user engagement side, what keeps them there? What messaging? What do they like to see? What sorts of events do they like? You know, so we're able to share a lot of learnings back and forth as well and help provide some info to the product team too.
That's the way it's supposed to work, by the way, Faith. Remember, it was like you get the data in, you're going to see the acquisition, know the person, see what they're doing in their behavior in the game, and push that out to product, and then also feedback to engagement, sort of like close this loop. But it's interesting, I talked to a lot of marketers, and they're telling me things like, because they're just starting to do what you're doing, right? And they're just seeing that. It's like, you know what? When you watch it later on in the funnel, what you thought was a huge bonus at the beginning can sort of peter out by the end. What are some interesting observations, maybe even some surprises? Because those signals that told you these were valuable players, now that you can see later on that maybe they're not engaging or they, you know, they're not what you thought they were, it totally flips the script.
Depends on the app and depends on the segmentation as well. Yeah. I think for Social Casino, which is the flagship app that DoubleDown has, like really on the UA side, right? Like they're trying to get the highest quality users, and it's more about what the main features are that appeals to them. Yeah. And so once they come into the app, again, like product will maybe work on some features and then we'll try to push them via UA and we'll try to push them via user engagement. And I think the most interesting thing is the features that will keep the user engaged are not necessarily the features that will bring in a new player. Mm-hmm. And so that when we've done testing, you know, you would think, right? Like, oh, we have a new sort of tournament system. We have like new contests or new journeys or new daily rewards or missions or any of this. And players show an affinity for them when they're in the app. So surely like this would be an interesting thing to a new player. But no, it's really about the core value of the app. That's what the new player likes. And so I think for every app, you just have to test. Like, is it your core value proposition that that's going to bring in the new user, or is it all of the additional features that help retain that user when they've been in the app for a month, a year, 10 years, right? Because DoubleDown is a 13-year-old app.
How has this helped in, I wouldn't say boosting sort of the monetization model, but making certain that you're getting more. You don't have to necessarily reinvent it, but you do have to extend the life cycle. How is life cycle marketing extending the life cycle of a 13-year-old app?
So I think part of it is creating that community, right? And that feedback loop with the player. But I think also part of it is like, how do we work in conjunction with the product team to figure out which features are engaging and then promote them out to the user? Honestly, for user engagement, depending on the channel, a lot of it is they want something that's fun and entertaining in the communication, right? So it's not just like, come back to the app for this. There's a lot of uses of like little trivia or games or word searches or things like that. Okay. They like sort of like these little mini engagements.
But that's an interesting finding and observation, because I was also talking, I'll always talk to marketers and hear what they're telling me. And it was great because we think we know something and then reality is it proves it different. And it was, oh, we're so worried about our onboarding and our welcome and making certain that, you know, our valuable players feel welcome. And it was like, actually, they want to get to the game. So the welcome just ticks them off, basically. And so I was like, guess what? Don't welcome them, which totally goes against what you would think. You would think, oh, this onboarding has to be, hey, hi, and oh, you've been doing an awful lot, you know, welcome back in, the win backs in particular. So what are some, like, those eureka moments where you now know something because of what you're seeing across the funnel that you didn't know before when you weren't, and maybe something you can also share with our audience, because of course they're trying to create these journeys now.
I think for us, like some of the testing that we've been doing and some of the things that we've looked at is that we have put in, you know, a welcome journey, but you really have to balance that with how much time it takes for the user to complete that. And then where are you going to put your engagement communication to them within the app in that journey? For example, when are you going to ask them if they want to subscribe to your emails or put in, you know, push notifications? Like, when are they going to want to have that communication with you? And that's, you have to think about that as part of your welcome journey, because if you wait, right, until they're all the way through that journey, are you losing out on that immediate communication with them? Or if you put it too early in, like, have you already communicated enough value that they're willing to have that relationship with you? So I think it really comes down to testing in your app and seeing, like, do your users, when is it best to have that, to put those options in front of your user? It's also going to depend on how complex your app is, right? Mm-hmm. So some apps are fairly simple, right? Mm-hmm. Like a social casino, like a card game. Like, most people know how to play solitaire. You're not going to have to put in a huge onboarding for that.
Yeah.
But if you're a mid-core title, you know, if you're something that has a lot of different features, definitely you're going to have that longer tutorial.
And that testing is also interesting because you've got a totally different team. You've got yourself. You've got product really interested in what you're testing, and those results have to go back there. Engagement. And you've got your buddy, right? AI on your shoulder helping out, hopefully. What does that testing look like now?
Actually, testing is at least for us, is really heavily on the product side.
Okay.
So they are the ones that are doing a lot of the analysis and a lot of determining sort of how do they want to run through those tests. And then for user engagement, we do participate within the app, but a lot of it is external to the app, right? Like, how do we keep that relationship alive so that the user comes back to the app on a regular basis? And so there's a lot of testing that we do external to the app as well, in terms of types of messaging, types of offers, you know, types of channels. We're doing a big analysis project now to say, like, what's new in the space in terms of communities where people spend their time, right? Like, everybody's on Facebook, everybody's on Instagram, in terms of like where marketers are. And a lot of people have been on Twitter/X.
Yeah.
Those are the ones everybody knows about, right? TikTok. Like, what else exists out there? And I think that's part of growing as a marketer, is trying to see where are the other places where your users, your players are, and then what's the tipping point where that becomes a large enough community where you want to invest. And so we are also doing some analysis of that too.
Any interesting channels you can note?
We're looking at sort of the new ones. Obviously, everybody's looking at Threads.
Yeah.
I'm hearing that there's more functionality coming to WhatsApp. It's still in the analysis stage. And it really depends on your app, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're a lifestyle app, like you still want to be on Pinterest.
Exactly. And you've got social casino. So you've got social built in at some level. How are you doing with your own community, building that and probably community management? I wonder, does that fall into your remit too, Faith? What don't you do? What's it like there?
So we are still, we still have a very active social community. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we do a lot of testing around what's the message? When should we talk to them? How often should we talk to them? I think when you've been around for 13 years too, you also have to evaluate like what are the behaviors that we've engendered and is it what we want, right?
Yeah.
Like have we trained them in certain behaviors that are no longer useful? And then how do we, if we think that, right? Like if we've created expectations and now we want to maybe move in a different direction or be more efficient. Yeah. It really is all about testing for those. Like what can we test? How can we test it?
So you're testing all the time. I'm curious because I'm not a marketer. I just really am interested in how you do what you do. So maybe the dumb question, but like your daily routine, all I hear is test, test, test. It's like, how do you do anything else? What does the testing routine look like?
It really depends on where you set the focus, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where the strategy comes in. And so talking with the team, like their strategy is that they have to do like tests on a certain cycle. Mm-hmm. So every month, like I sit in a meeting with them and they talk about like, here's what I tested last month and here's the results. And then here's what the next iteration is, or here's what we're going to do instead, because maybe that didn't work in such a way that we know there's no point in doing a next iteration. So I think you really have to be very specific. Like this is the DNA of our team. We believe in testing.
Yeah.
We're going to commit to doing these tests.
I'm hearing that a lot too, is that it really now starts with going back and saying, what is the objective? Now that sounds super simple, but the thinking that goes into that, that has shifted, that has changed, as objectives have changed, because it's not maybe growth at all cost strategy. You're thinking and looking at things differently. So you have to be very specific about your goals. And also in life as well. I mean, you have basically reinvented yourself. I've known you for what now? 5 years, Faith, it seems? And just watching you evolve is a joy. Lots of people out there have either the choice that they need to evolve and reinvent themselves in their current position, or they've been laid off and they have to say, okay, I was UA, now I want to do product. I was product, I want to do UA. It all comes together anyway. That's the good news. The hard thing is reinventing yourself. Give me some thoughts from you, some advice to everyone out there who has to either take on this challenge or at least understand what it means.
One is you have to be curious, mm-hmm. right? Like you can just be solely focused on the one thing you do and be the deep dive and like be the subject matter expert. Mm-hmm. And you will be, pretty successful.
Yeah.
But everything works together in this industry.
Yes.
And so I think it's great to do that, but you really need to pair it with curiosity. What else is going on? What's going on in the industry? What's going on with the app? What's going on with the company? What's going on with other departments? Like, how does technology work? How does marketing work? How does creative work? So being curious and educating yourself, mm-hmm. right? So I think that's step two, is educating yourself. After everything with COVID, like there's so many ways to educate yourself in terms of webinars, free resources on the web, companies like Coursera or Udemy that have very low cost ways of getting, classes on different things. So you have to choose to take advantage of the resources and grow your skills. And then once you have that, or in conjunction with that, the third thing I would say is look for opportunity. When I was at Big Fish, from user acquisition to ASO, is nobody was doing ASO. Uh-huh. And so I was like, this is really interesting. I studied up on it. And then I said, nobody's doing this. And I essentially created my own job rec. And so I think you know, if you see, if you are looking and saying, I don't necessarily, whether it's UA or product or UE or whatever, right? And you're saying, well, this is great, but maybe there's some instability, or maybe I just want to expand. Like, do the research, get educated, and then find where that opportunity is for your company or in the industry in general.
You're covering all the bases and you're giving back at so many different levels. I could go on, but this is just a teaser for a Pocket Gamer upcoming, you know, full scale 30-minute episode, because you're bringing a colleague with you and we're going to talk about career building. We're going to talk about self, well, evolution, personal brand, and personal growth. So I won't even begin to delve into that right now. And you do have a busy time at Mel, but I want to thank you so much, Faith. If it wasn't that we were sitting so far apart, I'd jump over and give you a hug, but all I can do is do this. Love having you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Peggy. I always enjoy chatting with you.
This show is all about how to do your job better, how to make an amazing game, how to market it. And you have a say. So if you have a story or know someone we need to shine a light on, then we would love to hear from you.
We want to hear from you. We want to reflect the reality of the mobile games market in all its wonderful complexity and strangeness. So if you have any suggestions for us, if you have any feedback for us, you can always get in touch. You can email us at podcast@pocketgamer.biz. You can find us on Twitter at PGBiz, and you can reach out to us through the pocketgamer.biz website. If you're interested in listening to all of our podcasts, you can find them at pocketgamer.biz/podcast. And we would love to hear your thoughts on future shows.
And we've got you covered on all the major platforms. So subscribe to the audio podcast, as Brian said. Look for us on YouTube. If you want to read it, hey, you can do that too, because we have a companion post for you as well on the pocketgamer.biz website.
Tune in again for the next edition of the pocketgamer.biz podcast, and we look forward to speaking to you in the near future.